Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Can you say flounder or can you say fluke? Either way, the flatfish bite is on. It's going crazy after earlier in the week, some gnarly weather. It is happening. Hey, we're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 9th and 10th. And Tog is open and it is smoking. I realize only one fish, 15-inch minimum. But a lot of fun. You get up on the jetties and the rock piles over, you're going to catch a lot of fish. You have youngsters or novices getting in there. A lot of rod bending going on. We have kingfish going on. I have triggerfish going on. I have sheephead going on. Tuna and mahi out there after I have to hunt them down. But, whoa, what do you say? Don't forget the bass and pickerel. They are kicking absolute ass out there in the freshwater lakes, ponds, and creeks. And also the catfish. Channels. Get on the Delaware, man. Get on those flatheads and blues. Everything is happening. Whoa, really jam show coming up. This is one of the prime times, August, a transition time, into September, into the fall season. Everything is coming together now. Mahi on the pots. You got tuna again running around mid-range and inshore. It's a time to get out there. We are locked, cocked, and ready to rock. And guess what's coming up? Hunting season, a digester out. Joining us in our next segment, Joe Leske, Fish and Wildlife. Get to the Hunter Ed courses, plan them, and get there now. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, it is Tom P. time. Loving it down.
Hey, this is Josh Hennig, inviting you to join me this Saturday for Hanging with Hennig, 12 to 3 p.m. on 97.3 ESPN. We will review the Eagles' position battles and the state of the roster after the first preseason game on Thursday night. Plus, the Phillies begin a road trip with a series in Texas this weekend, and we will question what is the best starting lineup to get the most out of this offense. Guests for this Saturday's show include NJ.com, Eagles, and NFL writer Chris Franklin, along with fantasy football insider Andy McNamara. Hanging with Hennig on 97.3 ESPN is sponsored by Yesterday's Creekside Tavern, South Jersey's best sports bar in Marmora, Clemic Performance Method in Egg Harbor Township, and Dr. Squatch Natural Soap. That's Hanging with Hennig this Saturday, 12 to 3 p.m. on 97.3 ESPN FM, the 97.3 ESPN mobile app, powered by First Bank of Seattle City, and streaming live on YouTube and X in the Dr. Squatch Virtual Studio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 9th and 10th. Hey, you're tuned in 7 to 8 a.m., 97.3 ESPN FM, 50,000 megafar reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message on terrestrial radio. Also streaming live in that slot, 97.3ESPN.com. Go to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, other platforms for the Rack and Fin Radio message. The podcast is usually posted either today, Saturday afternoon sometime, or sometime Sunday. But it is out there. And guess what else is out there? The Hunting and Trapping Digest 25-26. I'm too excited. I've always been saying, what, the past 3 weeks? One day closer to hunting season, September 1st, with the Canada geese and the railbirds. I love my the soars is a whole different animal. I'm trying to get up there in those freshwater marshes. The clapperels, gotta love it. But here it is. You ain't going nowhere unless you get your hunter education classes done and then get your hunting license. Join us on the line right now. Longtime friend of Rat and Fin Radio, it's Joe Leske, principal biologist, DEP's Fish and Wildlife Bureau, and he's the state hunter education administrator. Joe Leske, great to have you on. It's that time of year, Leske.
Good morning, Tom. I'm just counting down the days until hunting season.
I am too. I'm trying to get my September goose calls down, but I suck at that. That's why I hire people. Well, Joe, Hunter Ed, man, archery, a gun, muzzleloader, what's the deal? I mean, classes filling up rapidly. How long into the autumn period do they go?
So we're open now, which it wasn't always the case. Usually we just did them in the true spring and the true fall, but we've started expanding our classes to last longer. So it makes it a lot easier for people to take the online course, which they have to do before. And right now, our live fire sessions are open. So we will be open until probably the third week of October. So
wow,
somewhere through the state, you're going to have an opportunity to get out there and get hunter certified.
Now, Joe, these are North, Central, and South, correct?
Correct, yep. From the Salem County up to the High Point area. So there's really no excuse. We have them spread out pretty well. So,
Joe, here's the thing too. You're making it not easier, but more convenient. And today's it's been years. And today's crazy lifestyle, the online thing. That was brilliant, brilliant idea.
Yes, I mean times have changed, so we had to adapt, and we did a great job. And I'd like to brag about, you know, our program and our Hunter Ed instructors, because we are some of the best in the nation. So,
hey, Lesky, don't be so cool. Just say some of the best in the frickin' world, man. I've been to other countries. I see you guys rock the house.
Sorry, other states, but we rule.
Joe, how many classes now, archery and firearm, are they about equal in number?
Slightly an edge to the firearm. So we do, on average, between 4,000 and 5,000 students a year.
Wow.
And of that, we'd say about 2,500 are firearm, about 1,500 are bow.
See, what I'm wondering, though, and I'm not putting this on you, Joe, but the thing is, you always read about past 5-6 years, hunter numbers plummeting, which is true, I guess, around the nation. But, Joe, you seem these classes seem to be pretty full. How are recruitment numbers going, or should I bother someone in R3 about that?
Well, I'm also the R3 administrator.
And there you go, Lesky!
You get right to the horse's mouth. But here's the thing, and I love this question, because we've actually have shown stable hunting numbers and fishing numbers, for that matter, over several years. But unfortunately, I think in today's society, maybe we like to concentrate on that negative thing. And here's the thing, and this also goes with hunting wildlife populations. Times have changed. It is not the 90s and the early 2000s where we saw that many hunters. So we have stabilized our hunting license sales. There's always going to be slight ups and downs, but that goes with anything. So we are actually doing well.
This is
with
great.
The notion that this is the new normal. We're not going to have over 100,000, you know, licensed hunters out there, and there's less hunting space out there now. And if you ask a hunter, they might actually say, we don't want any hunters out there because they want it all to themselves. But
we're
doing our best to get the R3 programs, to get these new students out there to learn, you know, from A to Z.
Okay, Joe, now another thing I want to clear up, because people ask me, I said, call Lesky. But the firearm license, you want to get into, like my lovely Dee Marie wants to get into muzzleloader hunting. Does she now take the rifle course? Is there a separate muzzleloader course? What's the dealio?
Yeah, so they've put those together with just the basic firearm. So it'll be covered in that. And if she's already got her license and gets interested in muzzleloader hunting, we're actually going to do a workshop sometime in September, so keep an eye out for that.
Okay, absolutely. Joe, if you can, give me a date, and I'll announce it the week before. As a pre-sign-up, what do you have to do?
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll list it on our social media, and we'll also send an email list to, you know, licensed buyers for essentially the invite. So last year was the first year that we did it, and you know, we got over 100 people, you know, applying for it. So,
oh, that's great. Here's the thing, too, Joe, with these, what do you call them? I just call them front stuffers. I go way back. You know me, I'm 138 years old, Lesky. But you see these muzzle loaders today, Mary Mother of God, you're knocking deer down at 200 yards.
Yeah.
And more like stuffing that. You have to stuff it down, but don't worry. Oh, measure this, measure that. Oh, the nipple, something frees out. The thing doesn't. Man, they're as efficient as can be. To me, they're not a primitive firearm. So, uh-oh, I'm going to get grief about that. But they're not a primitive firearm anymore. Like over in PA, they have the, the flintlock season?
Flintlock.
You can keep that one, man. Joe, are muzzleloader numbers steady, or are they growing? Because I'm seeing more guys and gals hunting with the muzzleloaders because they get the special seasons here. Don't get me going on that one either, people. But
yeah.
So are those numbers, it's all about the money. Are those numbers stabilized or growing?
They're also stable, but, you know, like I said, with our R3 initiative here, we want to try and introduce people to other things. And yes, when you look at that Hunting and Fishing Digest, in this case, you know, you go and you see what the season dates are for muzzleloader, and you start thinking, hey, maybe I should take up muzzleloader hunting because I can get out there.
Joe, like for mine, I'm going to bite. How's this apropos, pun intended? I'm going to bite the pumpkin bowl, buffalo bowl. What do they call these things out? And then take it because there's times when I can't get out for, say, permit shotgun or whatever, and muzzle loader's open. So, yeah, to me, it's a chance to put some venison. I don't care about antlers anymore. Chance to put some venison in the freezer.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, join us on the line is Joe Leske, principal biologist extraordinaire, DEP's Bureau of Wildlife Management, principal biologist. He's the state hunter education administrator par excellence. I'll say it again. Well, Joe, now, are these classes, are they kept to a certain number, or is it first come, first serve? Do you keep the numbers down? Classes small? How's that work?
Yeah, so what you'll do is once they register for their live fire, whether it's shotgun or bow, they will sign up for a time slot. So there's only a certain amount of time and a certain amount of students that are allotted for each day and each time slot. So it's kind of almost like a conveyor belt type of thing where, you know, the first group will come in and they do get a little bit of a lecture. We have our conservation police officers there and our regional hunter ed coordinators out there. So they give them a few ups and downs on, you know, what's going to happen. They go, they get certified, and then we move the next group in. So it's pretty smooth flowing. And like I said before, it's a lot of opportunity throughout the season, essentially, because we go into probably late October with our classes. So now is the time.
Now's the time, right? Yep.
You know, before everyone starts heading back to school and getting busy with their fall seasons, get they're certified.
Joe, are you seeing more women and or youngsters getting involved? Or is it still almost like 90% totally male dominated?
Yeah, 89%. But you're
there. You go. Wow.
Yeah. So we see about 11% female in our student base, and the interesting thing is our average student age is 31. So perhaps when you and I took hunter education, it was, the kids. So we see about 22% of our students being of 10 to 16. So component has changed over the years. So it's a lot of folks in the 30s and 40s that are getting hunter certified. So that was a big bugaboo back in the day where people were afraid to go into taking hunter ed because they thought they were just going to be there with a bunch of kids, and they were somewhat intimidated by having to do that. But that's not the case anymore.
Okay, Joe. Well, Joe, listen, we're up against a hard break. It's Joe Leske on the line talking hunter education. Get to the classes. They're going to be going through October. You want to experience the great hunting opportunities in New Jersey. And for our size, we have some of the best hunting in the Mid-Atlantic Northeast region, I would say. And, Joe, besides the benefits getting out there and the whole experience, whether you're hunting in a group for stock birds or like me and my lovely Demer like to squirrel hunt, lone hunts, rail birds, whatever, get out there and enjoy. And the gastrointestinal delights that await. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, so my question to you is, do you like venison tacos and grilled backstrap or squirrel pot pie and pheasant stew? Maybe some pulled turkey barbecue or roasted duck? You're going to have to get out there and get hunter certified so you can enjoy those treasures.
Joe, for more information, go to the Digest or go to njfishandwildlife.com. Is there a link for Hunter Ed?
Absolutely. We have our own page, so just click it in there and go through the steps, and you'll be out in the field before you know it.
Hey, Joe, I haven't seen you in a couple of years, man. Listen, man, I age disgracefully. We all know that. But I like to run into you sometimes. Let's do a bird hunt or something together, bro.
Sounds good.
Take care. Have a great weekend, Joe, and have a great season.
Thanks, Tom.
Take care. Joe Leske, he is so cool and so into it. I love it all. But you know me, I love the hunting. I used to travel. I love it all. The fishing, I love it. This time of year, man, the blood really starts to percolate. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, we're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Glorious weekend of August 9th and 10th. I've been spending some time in and out, as I usually do during the summer, I say sort of a lot of time down there in the Cape. I love Cape May County. I just absolutely love it. And one of the iconic locations there, one of the places you visit and you can't wait to get there and you hate to leave because the people are great. You pick up all your supplies there. And if you're in transient, it's a great place to overnight. Utch's Marina, 1121 Route 109, Schellinger's Landing, right there on the south side of the canal in Cape May. Been there for decades upon decades. As I said, iconic, historic spot. The Utch family have been there for years. I want to give you just a background on this place, and who better to give it than Ernie Utch III himself, fam, and his brother Charles. It is just a fantastic place. Ernie, I can't speak highly enough about your establishment there and the people that work there. Even the slip, everybody's friendly. It's just a place you can't wait to get to visit, hang out, and you hate to leave. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm talking to Ernie Utch. Were you kidding me? I'm in some tall cotton here, brother. Ernie, how's your summer so far?
So far, it's been a little bit of hit and miss.
Okay.
The place is full, got all my slips rented, but I watch people discretionary spending. They're careful on how they spend their money, but it's going to be a good season all in all.
Ernie, I've noticed that some of the other Marines I visit up and down the coast, that discretionary spending, where it used to be, yeah, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that, give me that. Now it's, well, I have this amount of money, especially when it comes to the boating supplies and or in the tackle shops, and it's just what we need, not what we want type of thing. That's what you're saying, correct?
That's exactly what is happening here. And I sell a lot of used stuff. People bring me stuff to buy it off of them, mm-hmm. and then I repackage it and I resell it, and you'll end up buying gear for 50% of the price.
Mm-hmm. Ernie, the marina itself, how long have you been there?
Are you ready for this, my friend?
Yes.
1951. Next year will be our 75th anniversary.
Oh, 74 years and still going strong. That's pretty impressive. But where did the Utch's family, are you from the Cape May area? Where are you from? How did this whole thing get started?
Yeah, my grandfather had a fishing boat down here because he liked fishing. That's what brought us down here. It had a candy business in Philadelphia. We made all our own confections. Made fudge, we made bonbons, we made everything. And just during the summertime, you had this fishing boat. We had a party boat. And then they wanted to build a place to tie up their own boat. So him and Dad got together, and they started to put in a couple of boat slips. And a couple other guys said, hey, put in a couple of more, and we'll come over with you. So the first year, 1951, Dad had 13 boats.
Oh!
And then that was the summer business. And then the candy business was the winter business. And then in 1958, we left Philadelphia, and we came down here full-time. And I finished my elementary and high school down here in Cape May. I've been here ever since.
Well, Ernie, let me ask you this again. Sitting around the family table and stuff when you were younger, that's a sea change, pun intended, people. Move from a successful candy business, roots in the city of brotherly love and the whole bit, to make that move lock, stock, and barrel to Cape May to start a marina business, as precarious as it can be. I mean, that the discussions around the table, do you remember them?
I do. And they liked both businesses, but they liked Cape May more than they liked Philadelphia. It was pretty much as simple as that. And then my Uncle Charlie, who stayed with me for his whole life, in his off season, he took over the candy business and he took it into Oak Lynn, up on the White Horse Pike.
I know that, yeah.
And then when he retired from that, then he came back here to work for us. He was here my whole life also.
Now, Ernie, through grade school, grammar school, high school, rather, I mean, you're seeing the business grow. Give us some background. Leaps and bounds incrementally. What's the dealio?
Well, as you probably know and everybody else knows, Cape May has been discovered. But in those days, it wasn't, because there wasn't any Garden State Parkway. As the roads got better, then the people came down. And everything north of us happened first, because the parkway cut off at about mile marker 10. They didn't finish that last 10 miles correctly for the longest time. But they found us now. Oh, my gosh, you're a million-dollar city in Cape May. In Cape May now, you want to buy a house, better bring a million.
Speaking of Ernie Utch III, Utch's Marina, been 74 years strong, 75 next year. There's the anniversary, 74. 5 years. Ernie, now, other marinas have come and gone. You've expanded slowly, judiciously. Now you're up to 300 slips. Go over some of the facilities at the marina, please.
Well, I got the tackle shop, got the bait shop, got the fuel shop.
Oh, Ernie, let me interrupt you a second. Utch, listen to me. I think I'm in there. I think you have the largest gulp selection in Cape May County. Holy God, man. That's on three walls.
You know what? I think you're right. I never thought about that.
I'm grabbing this, grabbing that, grabbing this, grabbing that. It was great. And Ernie, again, your tackle shop, what I focus on, you cover it. You cover the waterfront from the back bay, the crab and stuff, out to big game. But go ahead, besides the shop, I'm sorry. I get too excited.
You're making me laugh, I got to tell you. I never thought about that goal. I just keep putting it up there because people keep buying it.
Yeah. And listeners, sometimes on the weekend, trying to find a place to park. Well, there's space there, but, man, it gets jammed. And Ernie, your marinas, now you have some of the big guns in the sport fishing industry. You have Captain Bobby Cope full ahead, Tommy Daffin, numerous record holders caught on his boat there. And everyone, all the fishermen there, from the experts, the hardcore guys, to the families, it's a great mix of people.
That Bobby Cope and that Tommy Daffin might be two of the best in the whole area down here. They are really, really good. And they make a dynamic duo.
Yep. And when you mention them, they're down at Utch's Marina. So it's like synonymous. That pair, along with some other great captains with Utch's Marina. Well, Ernie, when did was it always a sport fishing, like fishing camp, fishing marina? When did you notice it turn to now you do a great transient business? People, you're coming up from south, you're coming down from the north. Great place to dock overnight. A lot of facilities there, and you have the great Cape May right there. Ernie, but when did you notice the swing when it went transitioning? They're still fishing, don't get me wrong, but fishing to more family, boating, outdoor activity type thing.
It all started with the sailboats because the other marinas didn't want the sailboats. So we took the sailboats in.
There you go.
And then we sat down and we had a little war council with the family and said, you know, there's extra money to be had here. It's on the table. We should start to cater to that. So then about 30 years ago, we started to move in that direction and we dedicated some of the new construction to create an area where we could have just pure transit slips and get them the electric in the water and the cable TV and all the stuff that moms on the boat want so that they make it okay. And then we rebuilt the bathrooms and shower houses and the lounge and the laundromat and put all of that in for them. And it's a viable part of our business now.
And Ernie, you have everything.
It goes on 8 months.
Yeah, you have basically, listen, everything there. Check it out. Ernie, you still have the chapel?
I do.
There
every
you go.
Sunday at 8 o'clock in the morning. I got an honest-to-God preacher right there. We've been friends since he was 12 years old.
Wow!
Pastor Joe, one of my oldest friends.
Well, this is great. This is too much of a fire pay for this. This is too much of a fun interview. Ernie Utch III, the iconic Utch's Marina down there in Cape May, 1121 Route 109, Shelter's Landing. Well, Ernie, so the transition now to that, I have to ask you this. Politics being what they are, did the town join you? Okay, you needed zoning permits, you needed dredging, you needed this. Did the town, did the state government, the county government work with you with this, seeing the potential for more tax money, more employees, et cetera? Or was it a drag your feet type thing?
I think on the local level, I think I've had good support. The whole family has had good support all my life.
Mm-hmm.
But on the state level, it's been hit or miss a lot because the state of New Jersey can be difficult with the economy. They just don't do anything quickly. And if you need it real bad, then it seems like they go a little bit slower. But it is what it is. But it is what it is. You can't change it.
Mm-hmm. Ernie, engine franchises, you have a huge service department and parts department. How do those manufacturers work with you?
We're finding that some of the pricing is difficult now because some of the big The big guns out there, you can buy it cheaper on the internet sometimes than I can buy it wholesale from a distributor.
What?
So we have to be careful.
Oh, wow. So, Ernie, now, for the transit buses coming in, do you have travel lifts and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I got up to 55-ton travel lifts, so I can pick a 65-foot boat up if I want to.
Whoa. You hear that, man? All right, listen, now, people, trends want to come in, want to stay at Dutch's Marina. I mean, are you booked by the night, by the weekend? How does that work? They call you, ship to shore? What's the deal?
They call up here just like you call a motel. You make your booking. You want to stay for a night, you stay a night. You want a week, you stay a week. You want a month, you stay a month. You want a season, you stay a season.
And, Ernie, that's been a pretty steady business. Is it dribs and drabs? Wayne's here, and then there's waiting. All the slips are full. How does that work?
I send out my contracts. I get the renewals. By the time Thanksgiving comes, I'm probably 75% booked for next year.
Wow. We're speaking with Ernie Utch III, the iconic Utch's Marina down here in Cape May County, indeed a landmark. And Ernie, where Utch's Marina is situated, you have everything that's great about Cape May right there. I mean, right there. I mean, you get on a bike, everything's there.
I got my good friend has the Lobster House right next door. You walk off of my parking lot, you walk onto his parking lot, and you go to the Lobster House.
Ooh.
You don't have to drive. just walk across the parking lot right there.
Ernie, one thing, again, back to the trends, more and more families getting involved in the boating end of things, you notice on the pleasure end? Or you see more like husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, that type thing? Or are you getting more families involved?
I see a lot of husbands and wives. And one of the things the last 10 or 15 years, if you haven't heard of this, is called this Great Loop Association, America Great Loop. They start someplace here on the East Coast, and they head up north when the canals open, when the ice is clear, the Great Lakes. Then they traverse all the Great Lakes, they go through the canals, they get all the way up into Lake Superior, and then there's a way that they can get down into the Mississippi and the Tom Bigby River, and then they head all the way down to the Gulf Coast, then they do the west coast of Florida, they go through central Florida here at the Okeechobee Canal, a little bit south of the central, then they come back up the east coast to go home, and they're people that have retired, or they've taken a sabbatical, or taking a year off from work. Some of these people continue to do this. Some people do it three or four times. Sometimes they do it in a half because they don't have the time to do half of it and then store their boat wherever they stop and then go back and finish it the next year.
And Utch's is a stop in that trial?
Yep, and we have a big following for that.
Wow, Ernie, that is impressive. I mean, there's a thousands of marinas they can go to, but they chose Utch's. One, the facilities, two, the service, and three, listen, this is the most important, the people. Family. This is family. Ernie, whenever I'm there, I feel like part of the family, man. That's great.
Well, you've been coming a long time. You are part of the family.
Well, thank you. Hey, Ernie, I'll tell you, that young guy you have in that tackle shop, he is on the game, man. He was telling me, Ernie, I mean, this young fellow, he's on it. He is on it. And some people that were there, he was giving information. A guy was leaving, he says, man, we're going to go catch some fish. They were all pumped up.
He learned a lot of that off his grandpa. His grandpa used to manage his tackle shop for me.
Oh, wow. I remember. Oh, my gosh.
And his grandmother is still my bookkeeper.
Wow. Like I said, people, family. Ernie, now the business, we're going to get you on again for the business. I say they call it the local summer. After Labor Day through October, the Cape is just, I mean, it's crazy with people now. It's great to see if you're into that. But, Ernie, to me, September, October in the Cape is a pinnacle of greatness, man. It's at Acme. It's the best time of year to be there. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. It's also the best fishing. The crowds aren't as dense. You get a little bit of maneuvering room, and the fishing is always better.
Okay, Ernie, that's what I want to key in. We have another interview scheduled with you. I want to talk fishing Cape May in the fall out of Utch's Marina. You up for that, Ernie?
I'm up for it. You sign me up.
Hey, listen, Ernie, I ask you, do you get a chance to fish at all? I mean, you're
I fish off the dock.
Hey, Ernie, listen to me. I saw some crabs get caught there like they were from Jurassic Park. What's that all about?
Been crabbing, been good here all my life.
It's just, I mean, they're monsters, man.
Yep.
Okay, Ernie, again, 300 slips. You do have openings now through the remainder of August, correct, for transients?
Yes, I do, absolutely.
Okay, listen, the phone number, 884-205-1609, Utch's Marina. Google it. It's just a place, again, once you get there, and you have so many attractions right there. You get there, you hate to leave. It's just a fantastic spot. Ernie, we'll be talking to you in a few weeks, my brother, okay?
Okay.
And by the way, young lady Nancy in the office, boy, does she have patience with me. Tell her she's fantastic. I greatly appreciate her.
We tell her that every day because we don't want her to go anywhere.
Ernie, you take care, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, brother. Same to you. Thank you.
Ernie Utch. What I'll tell you, the place is, yeah, you go to marinas here, and that's fun. I know a lot, okay? But Utch is just, wow, it's a deal. Okay, man, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Football season is back, and the Sports Bash with Mike Gill returns to Ocean Casino every Monday from 2 to 6 p.m., broadcasting live from the Fanatic Sportsbook inside the gallery at Ocean Casino Resort. This Monday, join me, Nick Earnshaw, and Pete G as we kick off the football season and get you ready for everything this year will bring on the gridiron. That's every Monday, live from the Fanatic Sportsbook inside the gallery at Ocean Casino Resort, right here on the Sports Bash on 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, we're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. I mean, the fishing's been just phenomenal this past. I don't really have enough time to go into, but let's hit some reports right now. This past week especially has been exceptional. Going down to Mike Cunningham there, CIO Bait and Tackle. Mike, what's happening, man?
What's happening, Tom? How's everything going?
Whoa, Mike, even I'm catching fluke. Like, whoa, I was in numbers. Like, whoa, this has been just one phenomenal year. What's happening down your way?
Oh, fishing's been excellent. You know, we've been struggling with this weather. This wind has been tough on us, but fishing has been good. And everything from, you know, tunas to stripers, we're seeing good fishing. The new thing this week, we had the good tides. We had late afternoon tides.
Right.
Striper bite really kicked
in. Oh, did it? Oh, talk to me, Mike. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so come August, as most you know, come August, when you have late afternoon tides, especially Atlantic City South, all the peanut bunker and the mullet are going to be up on the surface a lot of times in the grass. And the stripers feed on them then because they have more of a shot at them. So you want to get back into those little creeks and channels. You want to throw your poppers. You want to throw your buzz baits, your chatter baits, your spooks, all that type of stuff up on top. And that bite really kicked into gear this week with the good
stuff. I've been keying on other stuff. I'm enjoying my one tog lemon stuff up there on the rocks. But, Mike, that's great to hear. Mike, are you hearing anything about bluefin on the ridges? And what about mahi on the pots out front?
So, mahi on the pots out front, we had that little cold snap about 2 weeks ago. Dropped the water temperature, and the water temperature went back up. The mahi fishing has been sporadic since then. Yes, they're there, but they're not in the numbers that we think they should be come this time of year with this water temperature. As far as the bluefins, I'm hearing lots of reports of people seeing them jumping, not catching them. And, you know, doing all that, they're not easy to catch. So I think we need a cold snap. I think we need a little water temperature drop, calm them down a little bit, and then that bite will get, not saying they're not biting, but it'll get better.
Okay, Mike, you know me. My mind's like a pinball machine, whatever. Okay, in the back again, any word on weak fish?
Not that I've heard, to be 100% honest. I have not heard. I'm sure there's some guys out there picking a couple, but nothing that's filtered through to me.
Now,
still flounder fishing, especially up around your inlets.
Yeah.
I did have my first customer of the, let's say, late summer, anchored up behind Corson's Inlet, had three kingfish over 12 inches with a bazillion spots and sea bass and stuff. So there's maybe a couple of big silver kings cruising around the back. So if it's a windy day, your chum, your bloodworms, your fish bites.
The fish bites, that's it, man. That's it. Mike, a lot of fun. One last thing.
They get those blowfish up north, and that's awesome.
Hey, Mike, whoa.
The big kings down here.
I love the king. Sometimes you get those southern kings up here. Mike, there's been a paucity of blowfish. Now, Barnegat Bay, I'm looking at it this way. The way the crabbing's been so phenomenal. I'm telling you, not to be a downer here, I think they got the 35-year downturn coming up, because when you have crabbing like this, there's no blowfish around.
Crabs. It's hard to flounder fish some days because there's so many crabs.
Mike, one last thing. Any people taking advantage of the one tog limit up there at the inlet?
Absolutely, because now you got your togs, you got some sheep's head, some trigger fish.
Yeah.
There's the occasional striper, the occasional drumfish. There's all that while you're targeting the sheep's head, so that's been real good. But one quick thing I've been having, guys, with all these crabs around, with these flounders, try a freshwater drop shot rig. A sinker on the bottom.
Yeah.
That's, you know, an egg, something smooth, 4 feet up, dropper loop, and like your jerk shads on a 4-0 bait holder hook, way up off the bottom. The flounders are coming for them, but you're reducing your crabs and your seaweed.
Hey, you heard it from Mike Cunningham, CIO Bait and Tackle. Mike, give that phone number, brother.
CIO Bait and Tackle, 609-263-6540, in the heart of Fish Alley, CIO City.
Mike, how's that great family, man?
Everybody's doing good, man. We're trying to get some fishing in, getting ready for deer season.
Oh, wow. I'll see you later, Mike. Talk to you.
Have a good one.
Let's jump it up to the great Fanatics Marine Supply and owner Billy Wiggins there. West Avenue in the great Ocean City. Billy, I missed that town. Last time I was there, I had to circle the block six times to get to park in your place. What's up with that?
This town's crazy, man. Woo! Summertime is here. This is one of the busier ones I've seen down here.
This is great, Billy. And I stopped at a bunch of places, Courses Inlet down there, all the way up to the other end. People fishing and crabbing up the wazoo, bro.
Absolutely. They're everywhere. It's a good thing.
So what do we have going on, Billy?
Well, we got a lot of little stuff in the surf. You got kingfish, you got spot, you got croakers. The guys, you know, some of the brown sharks the guys are catching by accident. You got fluke and back bays. A little bit in the surf in the morning if you do fluke. You know, that's actually one of the hidden secrets here. If you get in the surf and try to fish early in the morning before the guards get up, you get a shot to catch some.
Yeah, I heard there's some keepers.
That's been pretty good.
Yeah,
it's been really good. Actually, this is probably the best fluke summer I've seen in years.
That's what, Billy, yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable.
Now, Billy, down.
I don't know what caused it, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Billy, down on Corson's Inlet way, I'm hearing some great stuff from there to the bridge underneath and all the way up back up around. What's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. They're catching fluke in the little pocket down there in Corson's. They've been catching a lot of croaker still mixed in with that stuff down there, even spot. Getting the deeper water, and I'm even hearing a few stripers at night in some of the deeper water.
Yeah, and Billy, also one thing too, it's so popular now, the crabbing. How's that going?
Crabbing's been on fire the last month or so. It's been really good. Guys are going out anywhere, and you're getting those cricks and the mouths and the bays, you know, any of those spots. Ocean City's tough, and, you know, they don't have a ton of spots you can go to. There's too many houses, but you get Corson's, you know, you catch some of those little culvert pipes that are coming out before you get the Corson's, they get them.
Yeah.
Back in Tuckahoe, if you get in the rivers and things like that, it's tributaries, it's fantastic.
Bill, one last thing, too, with the one fish toggling, because that's only one fish, but so what? They're a lot of fun to catch, and there are some keepers. Any tog coming off those bridges along the causeway and out there at the Ocean City Longport Bridge? Or the fishing pier, whatever,
Yep, they're picking them at Dine Street and almost some of those piers under the bridges there. And pick them at Longport off that one. And some triggers mixed in with them, too.
We just had some. I'm going to tell you something, man. We just had some triggers the other night. Billy made my tongue slap my brains out. After, like I said, I tell you, after you eat triggers, you'll give your sea bass to the cat. They are a little bit of a tussle of a clean, but I have it down pat finally after about losing half of my fingers. But, yeah, it's good to go.
Yeah.
Billy, you take care, man.
All right, Tom, take care.
We're up to see Noel Feliciano. I'll tell you, man, one stop there in Atlantic City. Noel, first of all, I know the fish is going to be fantastic. I'm hearing stuff all over the place. Just tell me right off the bat, how is that seawall producing, brother?
Listen. You don't catch fish because you're not coming here. You're definitely going to catch something. They need something that you want. Maybe they need something that you want, but your rod's going to definitely bend. But there are fish here. There's some big, big flounder right now. The best flounder season in 30 years is happening in the state of New Jersey. Can you agree with that?
Absolutely, Noel. Go ahead, man.
Let me tell you something. I honestly think one of the best seasons ever we're going to remember is this season, just for those two notes. Big weak fish. I just put some weak fish up. And the Royals are here. They're quite a big, nice sizes. On a surf and on a jetties towards all the way towards the seawall, all the way up towards the Brigantine Bridge there. Mm-hmm. And the tog situation, one flea or one any crustacean, especially green crabs or sand fleas, one bait in, one fish out.
Wow.
And I can guarantee you, you're definitely going to catch at least in one sitting 15 to 30 fish.
That's absolutely, listeners, it's off the hook there. Atlantic City is still one of the biggest kept secrets. Noel, it's just phenomenal across the spectrum there, man.
Let me tell you something. This rock pile that we have here, we have over a mile worth of jetties. This is a five-star resort for every fish, and especially tog.
You there? Yeah, no, I had a little bit of a technical problem there. Okay, go continue about the tog. Go, brother. We got a minute. Go.
Let me tell you something. This is the best kept secret on a tog situation. If you want to hone your skills, then you come here. But the craziest thing is we have over a mile worth of jetties. And when a person comes in with their keeper, one keeper, because you're not allowed to have one,
right.
15 inches and above. And they say, how many you catch? Oh, I caught 25. Wow.
That's a lot of fun.
Let me tell you something. the most fun that you can ever have. You can use a high-low rig. You can use a tog jig. And let me tell you, you don't have to know what you're doing. I sent a family up there, father and son, and they never fished for tog, and they caught trigger fish and probably like 15 to 20 a piece on a tog.
That's,
let me tell you,
too much fun.
If you don't do nothing here, it's because you're not fishing here.
There you go.
And it's super great, super great.
Noel, before I let you go, top bait for the Royals, man.
Bloodworms and more bloodworms and more bloodworms. Fish bites just a little bit. But you should have something on a hook all the time, and that's what the fish bites come into. But the bloodworm has been the ticket for that. But you could use a little piece of shrimp. But, you know, if a person's fishing next to you with some bloodworms, you know what's going to happen with your shrimp, right?
Yeah. Hey, Noel, real fast, before I let you go, how's that family? Everything good?
Familia, super great. How's yours?
Fantastic, Noel. You take care, man. I'll see you soon.
God bless.
Let's wrap it up. Empire Fishing and Tackle on Route 9 there in Tuckerton, the great Chris Topeka. How you doing, Chris?
Doing all right, Tom. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, but man, your parking lot's jamming, cramming, otherwise slamming. What's going on, man? What's going on?
It's been fantastic. In Tuckerton area, the fishing has been good. Variety of species has been caught. Flounder fishing remains really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Gulp, live minnows, squid, and spearing are the way to go. There's been more keepers caught over the past month or so than I remember being caught in years.
Yeah, this is echoing. This is it, people. This is the year for the flatties.
It sure is.
Chris, you hearing anything on kingfish or triggerfish or anything?
A little bit of a bite on the triggerfish. Not much of a bite right now on kingfish.
Mm-hmm.
Croakers, sheep's head, and even some keeper striped bass are being caught. it's been a very interesting season.
I will
and
say,
the crabbing is excellent.
Crabbing is crazy. Not for anything to ping, but I met somebody. There was a kayaker. He's coming in. Showed me on his phone. He had some bass out of that pack on lake. There had to be 5-6 pounds, Bo. Using frog.
The guys have been doing great.
Using
minnows, rubber worms. Yeah, there was just another one caught, 4.2 pounds.
Yeah, the one guy, the Yakutar, he was frogging. That's all he did. And he was way in the back, like where Mill Creek comes in.
Hopefully we've got a state record sitting in there somewhere.
Chris, you take care, man. We'll see you soon.
Hey, thank you so much, Tom. Have a great day.
You too. Okay, man. Hey, it's I just had to get the reports not out of the way, just to let you know what's going on for the weekend. Get out there. Ever hear of Crustacean Nation? Well, you're gonna. Hang in. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Hi, this is Billy Schwein. Saturday morning, join me, Nick Earnshaw, and former Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Dave Clement as we broadcast live from the Beach in Wildwood at the Beach Football League tryouts. Two-time Super Bowl champion Tully Bantakane will drop by to talk about the BFL. We will recap the Eagles' Thursday night action and the Phillies in Texas. Plus, it's the Beach Patrol Report brought to you by McCann Realtors and the OCBP Lifeguard Alumni Association. We will hear from the former chief of the Longport Beach Patrol, Dan Adams. It's the Locker with Billy Schwein, live from the Beach in Wildwood, Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon, 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, closing out on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We're going to have August 9th and 10th. Hey, people, you've been tuned in to Rack and Fin Radio, 7 to 8 a.m., 50,000 mega far-reaching watts on 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live, and that's 97.3ESPN.com. Now, download the the ESPN app or go to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, other platforms for the Rack and Fin Radio podcast, which you're going to post either today, Saturday afternoon sometime, or sometime Sunday. Hey, in closing, man, you talk about a discovery. Remember a couple of weeks ago we had on Matt Heil from Marine Fisheries. He's a blue crab, biologist, talking about crabbing's been phenomenal. My hypothesis is why the blowfishing absolutely sucked. Pun intended, this year. No bugs. What do blowfish love to eat? Blowfish love to eat crabs, little crabs. Well, blowfish, they should have been here 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. But the crabbing has been, what do you say, off the claw. I'm in Creekside Outfitters the other day. I'm looking, checking out the board there. I see, welcome to Crustacean Nation. What the hell is that? Read through it. I said, wow, this is absolutely fascinating. It is an organization that offers private crabbing sessions for all ages and experience levels. I kid you not. This is, as I read through it, and joining us on line right now is the founder, president, CEO of, I guess whatever their title is,
of Crustacean Nation. It's Charlie Musakavis. Charlie, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. Pleasure to make your acquaintance, young lady.
Same here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, this is great. Okay, I have to ask you this. We don't have much time. What was the catalyst to get this whole thing going?
I would say the catalyst was I've just always been an avid crabber and advocate for the environment, and so many people come up and ask me questions about what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, and what species I'm catching, and I just realized that even locals don't really know the beauty of the environment right at their feet, so I wanted to share my love with others, and lo and behold, Crustacean Nation.
Let me ask you this. Hand lines, yes. I call them drop lines, or pull traps. Use both?
Yes, we use both, but we tend to get more with the drop line.
Absolutely. Man, sometimes you get a big one on there. You got a tug of war going on, man.
Yes.
Now, how long have you been doing this? Is this brandy new this year?
This is brand new, like July of this year.
Wow, man, this is a pretty big undertaking. So, again, making it, see, these two words are sometimes mutually exclusive, fun and educational. Believe me, I went to Catholic school, I know. Fun and educational. How do you make it fun for the youngsters and the families and educational? Combine those two, Charlie, tell us.
Well, at Crustacean Nation, I really try to make it an experience beyond just crabbing. So we have binoculars available and field guides so that kids can learn about the local bird species. And we have word searches and coloring sheets and all sorts of activities for kids to not just engage with the species, but the whole ecosystem around them. So it's perfect for kids who have no experience crabbing or people who want to come and just use the equipment and have a nice time in the evening.
And you, I understand you supply all the equipment and everything and the bait and all that good stuff?
Yes, everything is included. All you have to do is show up at the dock.
Listen, this is the coolest part. You know, I mean, I'm a writer. I'm not a wordsmith, but I just like words more than numbers, believe me. What does the Crustacean Nation slogan, catch the claws, protect the cause, mean? Translate that, please.
So, like I mentioned before, we're really all about protecting the cause. So not only are we teaching about crabbing, but how to do it ethically and to make sure that we are protecting the species, right? It's a really important part of the local economy. And we want to make sure that you're understanding the full life cycle of the blue crab, why they're important, and how we can catch them ethically. So it's really important that we protect the environment that we're in, hence catch the claws, protect the cause.
So is this a one-day dealio, 2 days, 3 days? How does this program work?
This is a one-day thing, so if you book it, you will be booking for a two-hour session with me. But in the works, we're trying to get crabbing clinics up for young kids. So it'll be a five-week program where they learn about also environmental education.
Now, how's this evolving for the future? I mean, you don't seem to me to be one that's a one-shot deal. I see this growing beyond all kinds of blue claw crabbing scopes. How do you see this playing out?
So hopefully we'll keep doing the private sessions. And like I just mentioned, we'll do clinics for young kids. But obviously crabbing is only in the summer. So in the off season, I'm hoping to run a craft-based conservation program for after-school kids. So hopefully we'll learn about conservation through craft-centered activities.
Well, Charlie, how does a family or group, whatever, individual book a session? What's the deal?
You just go to our website, www.crustaceannation.org, or you can visit us on Instagram or Facebook at crustaceannation.nj.
Okay, Charlie, this sounds absolutely fantastic. Is there a cost to the program? How much? Venmo, Cashbo, how does it work?
Yes, so there is a cost to this program. It starts at $45 per person, but if you book more people, it gets cheaper. Mm-hmm. And when you book it through the website, you automatically do the payment through there. So no hassle on the dock. Everything will be paid before you start crabbing.
Now, listen, how about this? I'm a foodie, as you can tell by me. Someday I'll meet you and say, who left the potholes here in the parking lot when they were walking? Do you have any type of maybe like crab cookery session?
Not at the moment, but that would be a great addition in the future. But everyone gets sent home with a little brochure on how we recommend at Crustacean Nation you clean your crabs and cook your crabs.
That's great. Charlie Musakavis, thanks. So listen, it's a great organization. I tell you, it's going to be a grand slam in the crabbing world. Crustacean Nation. One more time with contacts, Charlie.
You can visit us at www.crustaceannation.org or on Instagram or Facebook at crustaceannation.nj.
Well, Charlie, hope to see you sometime on the water because I'm a crabbing fiend.
Awesome. Same here.
We'll see you later, girl. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
This sounds great. I'm too pumped up. It's crabby. I'm too pumped up. Hey, that'll do it for this weekend on Rock and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Get out there and enjoy. It's one day closer to hunting season. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.